Hey guys, Leo here. Today we have our first ever expert interview with XAI's CEO, Dennis Mortensen. We'll discuss how, when, and why to redesign a website and the process he went through to increase 60% their conversion rates. Little disclaimer, I'm a big fan of his work and I was really nervous, so sorry about that. Without further ado, let's get to the interview.
All right, Dennis, first of all, thank you so much for this time. For sure. I mean, I've been following you since, I think, November last year, just checking your posts and your website. And it was just such a surprise when you talk about the redesign of your website. And by the way, it's just impressive. I love it, for sure. Totally, I love it. I think it was a really nice move. And after you talk about the results, well, I think we can all agree on that.
There's always something very romantic about doing a new website. You and me could always agree on that. And I think plenty of people will redo their website without having any particular objective in mind, just because you grew tired of your prior website. That seems to be a silly reason to redo it. I am guilty, though, of having done that in the past, just because, well, we need a refresh. Now, I try very hard, certainly when people ask me, to at least suggest they take one step back and try to at least come up with a reasoning for why they're redoing it, a set of metrics attached to what success might look like on the other side, and not just do the sum of refresh. Now, we had a very different reason to redo it than that of many. So plenty of people who will do bottom-up acquisition or kind of B2C-like acquisition for where the website serves as the primary acquisition vehicle. For us, it was actually an education exercise, not one for where we were unhappy with the conversion rate, as in 10,000 people come in, X number of percent kind of convert. No, it was one for where, upon converting, signing up, authenticating their calendar, and going through the full setup and starting to use our tool. And here's the footnote. We're in the business of scheduling meetings through these two agents, Amy and Andrew, or through a set of kind of calendar pages. And something for where we certainly felt it would be easy to understand. We did see, though, that people come into your setup with some understanding of who you are and how your tool works, even before I said anything. And then the question comes, where did they get those ideas from? They just generally got them from what other people said around the internet, but also to a large degree from what you said on your website. And that was the catalyst. We took a good, honest look at our website, trying to figure out, if I now said this, would I be happy with what they thought of me? And that didn't feel right. So that was the primary exercise for where we actually looked at, and this is an interesting metric, the amount of people who got from zero to one meeting, not on how many people who converted or whether they upgraded to premium, whether I made more dollars or not, all kind of traditional good stuff. No, whether people somehow took it upon themselves to schedule that first meeting. And that I certainly find to be an interesting metric over what you might have thought otherwise.
It's so funny you started with that, because actually that was my first question. Like, what was the objective behind the redesign? So I think we're connected right here now. it resonated so much with me, because right now I'm kind of like doing the same thing. I'm redesigning my website for my agency. But I don't really know how to approach it. Like, all right, but what do I want them to know about me, right? And this is kind of like my second question to you. How did your team approach the task? What was the brainstorming like? So your activities were aligned with your goal?
So without me regurgitating 17 detailed points on what we wanted to achieve. Let me at least just highlight one and perhaps one of the more important ones. We found that having looked at our website, people easily understood the pain we were trying to remove. As in, I don't have to spend much time telling people that it's annoying to set up a meeting, but you and me talking today, oh, that's awesome. Setting it up, not so much. So the pain, which is usually what you try to double down on, as in you are some sort of recruiting tool and you would like to kind of describe why is it that recruiting becomes easier if you deploy your particular tool? Or why is it that your accounting becomes easier or more accurate using that other tool? So people very often lean into some version of describing the pain, as in, why are you even signing up for this? We found that people know very much why they're signing up for this. I don't have to reiterate that. So that makes us a little different. They just get it. I can just say one word, as in, I don't have an elevator pitch. There is no slide two to my kind of investor deck. Slide one, we schedule meetings. Slide two, well, there is none. I get it. I know what you guys do. Now, what we did find though, when we spoke to users who did sign up, did go through all of the setup pages, why didn't you schedule your first meeting? And there we found this kind of very interesting nugget of insight. There was some anxiety attached to that of changing your habits. As in, if you and me try to schedule a meeting, and you shoot me an email saying, hey, Dennis, can you do next week? I say, next week, I'm actually traveling. Can you do the week thereafter? You say, sure, just not Tuesday. I then say, Wednesday at 1. You say, can we do 1:30? I say, uh-huh. And let's do Zoom. You give me a thumbs up and I send out an invite. That little back and forth that I just described, you and me have done 1,000 times. And we're very comfortable when we do it ourselves. Now, people were a little bit anxious when they had to surrender this process to a piece of software, as in, Amy, can you set something up with my friend Tommy and John come the week after next, not Tuesday, for 30 minutes over Zoom? That was something for where they surely understood it, but couldn't just immediately remove that anxiety. So if you look at our website today, the homepage actually turned more into a kind of traditional how it works page. Because if I tell you how it works and expose to you what your guest might see, then some of those anxieties might just disappear. And there was a different kind of ask to the kind of design and content folks over what you would typically see, kind of a hyper-optimized or multivariate test on the splash itself, aware, how can I increase conversion on that kind of one CTA that I put in place? I just need max amount of emails put into that inbox. No, it was not that. I needed max amount of anxiety removed upon having read this page. So when you do sign up, and I was willing even to decrease my signups if those that ended up going to the other side were more comfortable. Now, what I shared then on LinkedIn was obviously that we ended up with both, and I don't think they're in conflict to each other. So we ended up both with an increase in actual conversions. We increased that just about 16%, which is pretty dramatic if you think about it. Because typically,
congratulations, anyway.
Yeah, thank you very much. And many times you're trying to squeeze out just a percent here and there because you're already on your 11th incarnation, right? And you tested the hell out of it. But on this, we were just very calm and just assumed upon being more elaborate and more educational that it might just cost us a little bit on conversion, but it did not. Not for our audience. And this is obviously not necessarily something you can replicate to the next site. What I do think you can replicate is trying to figure out, given most websites are really just there to serve the beginning of a journey. It is not the end. It is always the beginning of the journey. If you have some sort of product, even if it's a physical one, but certainly if it's a software product. So if that is the beginning of the journey, I do believe that you need to have some idea of what does a successful destination look like. And if that is not just you having converted a user, but the user doing some of those initial asks that see him become successful with what you have to offer, then you might just shine a different light on the purpose of the website and what its success might look like outside of what we typically always optimize on, just straight conversions.
That was a really good answer. Like, yeah, I totally can see it, because the first time that I knew your company and your tool, one of the things that I always saw was, and why is the other person going to look, right? When I send this to Amy, hey, Amy, a schedule X meeting, I always was anxious of, and what is the other person going to receive in the email? Are they going to notice that Amy is an AI? Will it matter? So one of the things that I first noticed when you redesigned your website is, like, it was almost like a pre-onboarding, right?
You are super tuned in. And that's exactly how we talked about it internally, which is that the website is the beginning of a journey, an onboarding journey. So we think of the website as pre-onboarding, as in you might kind of fail on that, choose not to sign up. That's okay. I'll try to talk to you later in life. And hopefully we stumble into each other later. But it is all about pre-onboarding. And the very anxiety that you described, which in our surveys was what we ended up being told the most, was, I see what you're trying to do. I understand the tool. I need to see what you send my guests. I cannot use this unless I am super comfortable with what emails goes out to my guests. And if you scroll down on our website, the very first thing we show you is, you write this, this is what I send to your guests. When you look at that, you now need to kind of either be comfortable or not with what we send your guests. We think it's very honest, very sober, exactly what you would have imagined, but now you know. And then, of course, in this pre-onboarding, upon you signing up, authenticating your calendar, starting to kind of add some of your preferences, you will see some of the same information being reiterated to continue to bring calm to the onboarding, so that when it is time to use it, you are not anxious. And we have, this is just another side note, I'm sorry for my answers being so long, but we have this kind of funny setting, and some tools will have that, for where you can sign up for X.AI and not immediately use it. So if you sign up for, say, Evernote or some other note-taking app, you typically sign up at that very moment where you would need to take a note, as in, you know what? I'm at this conference and I want to take some notes. Then you sign up and you start using it immediately after having signed up. Or you need now to sign up for a new kind of cloud storage service. You sign up for Dropbox, and immediately after signing up, you drag over that first 400 megabyte file, because that's why you signed up. Or you need to kind of sign some contracts digitally. Then you sign up for DocuSign and start using it immediately. Now, on X.AI, you can sign up Monday, but yes, you don't have any meetings you want to schedule. Or you might not always have any meetings you want to schedule. And then you wait. We have this very odd delta between you signing up and your first use, which might not be in the moment. That is a little bit of a challenge, which is why I need to kind of inject confidence into you, so that when it is time, come 2 days later, you immediately feel empowered to CC and Amy or use any one of our other offerings. But that is an interesting delta. Some other people have it, but not many. And I actually still think we have some challenges, just in general, attached to that.
Yeah, I'm totally agree. Actually, one of the things that I think that you really nailed, if I can say that, is the emails, the prep meeting emails, mm-hmm. right? So Amy just sends you an email with your tomorrow's meetings and all the everything that is scheduled. And I think that's just so on brand, right? Like, it is your personal assistant. It is here for you, and you remember her, right? Because you have all these emails getting to you.
I need to almost interject you here because, again, you nailed it. And I think you might have said so without, you might have thought about it. Other people might not have thought about it. But when you said member, that for us was one of the primary reasons to develop tomorrow's meeting prep. This whole idea of you not forgetting. So we are one of those somewhat invisible tools, right? Where if you install an app and add it to your home screen on your iPhone, then at least you'll see the icon and be nudged into potentially using it. We are invisible for where Amy only wakes up when you CC her in. And that means you might forget. A way to not forget is to at least say, hey, remember, I'm the one who kind of scans your calendar, try to be on top of it. And if you ever need to reschedule one of your existing events, hey, I can help. And or you need to set up a new meeting, I'm here to help. So that was, I think, a very good little, again, somewhat invisible mention you just did there. But it was the remember part. And it worked very well. Doesn't mean that we overcome it. But that certainly helps me solve for that starting delta between you signing up on Monday and you doing your first meeting on Thursday. I need a little bit of relationship. And or you going on vacation and then coming back a week later and I might have disappeared, then I need to be visible again. So that that have worked very well. Good point.
we are definitely kind of connecting here. And that's good, right? So one of the things, just like to wrap everything up, right? Because it has been such a valuable conversation, and it's impressive because your tool, and I think that there's a lot of software that are like this in the sense that they are invisible. Like Amy shouldn't be on your way; it should just be like seamlessly there helping you, and that's such a hard thing to explain and to sell. So, just to wrap this up, what do you think has been your toughest challenge so far for expanding Amy?
If I were to pick one thing, and as I'm sure you know, and anyone who will listen to this or read this, any startup is just a bucket of difficulties. And nothing of what you do is really easy, because what you're saying is something didn't exist yesterday and I want it to exist tomorrow. So obviously the world existed without you and now it needs to exist with you. So the whole thing is just a bag of difficulties. But to answer your question, if I were to pick one thing, it would be education. So tons of R&D challenges, as in how do you take in unstructured natural language and try to make sense of it? Given that natural language or NLP is not a solved science, how do you label that? How do you make good enough predictions so the tool becomes valuable? How do you design emails given there are no pixels in them? They're primarily words. How do you mix words potentially with buttons? And does that take away from the agent and all of those things? But of those challenges, if you were really just pushing me to pick one thing, I think it would be education. As in, I thought naively, and you can bold and underline that, that on day two after having started this, that education would perhaps be the easiest part. As in, I could just tell people, oh, you got a meeting? Just CCN Amy at X.AI and you are off to a better place. That was just super naive, as in it took and still continues to take real effort from our end. And I actually still think I haven't fully solved it to explain to people, not what we're solving, but how to best use it. Oh, but hey, I actually don't need to be mandatory in this meeting. I'm not the host. I just want these two people to get together. I'm just the recruiter, but I need the hiring manager and the candidate to speak. Oh, you know what? I'm actually coordinating for these two other people. You don't need to ask them. Oh, you know, this is actually not my default duration. I want this to be 2 hours because he's only in town this Wednesday. Oh, you know, I did say my scheduling hours ended at 6 o'clock, but he's in from Hong Kong, so I'm willing to expand it beyond 6 o'clock for this one guy. And that all, you know, there's 1,000 of those, and they all have this little, they're special to me. And how do you educate around that? That is certainly something which I am still positively struggling to try to do my best at. And to kind of perhaps round the conversation off, the website is just one element in that. And the website is not just the typical conversion machine. It's an education machine. It is pre-onboarding, as you said. And that makes for a different type of website. And it's obviously nice when the pixels come out crisp, because if you're just slightly fond of good-looking things or proper design, then you can't not like the pixels. But it's certainly all about how do I best educate. So when you kind of see a headline on that homepage or see that we only have really two things in our navigation, that is not random. That is us having spent hours on end on how do I best craft this H1? How do I best craft this H3? How does the H1 and H3 go together? When I expose this to a user and I ask him, what do you read from this? And he doesn't read what I want him to read. How do I redo it? How do I make sure that the image doesn't steal from the text? Or all the little things that you might not see when you scroll down that page because it's full of white space. You should see or imagine at least us having really catered to every single character here. And we still think we got work to do. So I could just have told you education, but I gave you 4 minutes instead. Sorry about that.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. I think that sometimes we just oversimplify things. But I think that these answers that you're giving me are way better than I actually thought, right? It's kind of hard sometimes when you are not connecting with somebody and the answers comes like flat, but 4 minutes answers are beautiful because we can understand the thinking behind every action you take. And we actually see the work, right? Because sometimes we tend to imagine that it's easy for teams and for people that already done it, but it's not. There's an entire hustle behind it, right?
And I think anybody who works this themselves can obviously empathize. But if you just go to X.AI, the homepage, and I'll give you just one of those things that are not immediate or seems like, sure, you just wrote that. So we have an input box where you can go sign up like any other kind of SaaS website that you've seen. Right below it, given we are a freemium product, there's a sign up for free. You've seen this a million times before. Nothing new. Now, this particular product does require you to invest some time and energy in your settings, your scheduling hours. Do you need breather time in between your meetings? Do you have unique kind of locations where you meet up? Do you need specific meeting types for where the people in Europe are allowed to kind of go later into the evening? All sorts of things which you need to invest in. We saw when we just wrote sign up for free that people surely understood, or it's premium. And I might not yet know whether the free edition will be enough for me. So I'm not going to invest much time in it. when we added the forever, those are seven characters. Sign up for free, forever. Saying forever increased the amount of effort people were willing to put in to their preferences. If they put more time into doing proper preferences, they increase the likelihood of them succeeding using the product because it simply becomes a better experience. But just seven somewhat random characters added below an input box will change the behavior visibly in our metrics. That is scary if you think about it. Such a tiny detail. But that's what you get when you try to really understand what is it that your users are feeling and trying to overcome when they look at what you put in place here. There goes another 3 minutes and seven characters.
That is actually a scary thought, that just one detail can have that much impact.
Yep.
On your bottom line. Like, it just kind of like make us realize that nothing is written in stone. Like,
it is
who
not
know, right?
Yeah, who can know? The only thing, and again, you know this, of course, if in doubt, talk to your customers. Then talk to your customers again. Then talk to them again. Talk to them all the time. As in, there's no 15 minutes wasted talking to a customer. And a customer might be paying you money. He might not. He might be a free user. But speak to them all the time. That is advice that we all know is true, but sometimes we forget it a little bit. We know we should, but I did chat to somebody last week. No, every day. So my job is certainly not one for where I should sit and do online support at 1 a.m. on Twitter, but I do. Why? Because I want to speak to our customers. I want to, as much as possible, feel their pain. There was something which I thought was good that was a little bit off. Why is it that I think it's good and you think it's a little bit off? And I will continue to do so, I think, to the very last day. And it's certainly one of those things for where we should all nudge each other, for where there should be some sort of alarm on your phone if you haven't talked to one of your customers this week. Not through a filter of surveys and then being a data point or in a row in Google Analytics. No, as in talk to them in completely unstructured feedback where they can tell you, this I didn't like, or this I really like. That made sense. But you know what? I wish you did this thing. Oh, great. That goes straight on the feature request list. But do that all the time.
You know, you just stole my question again. My question was actually if you had one advice for anyone that is listening or reading the article, what would you say? And yeah, talking to your clients, it is just that essential. That's one of the things that the first thing that we try to do at Elegant Milky, that is a agency that I run, is always talk to the customers to understand where are they, what are the pain points, what do they want, right? Because sometimes we think they want X, but we're just guessing. And why we should be guessing if now with the internet, with so many channels we can share information, we should be talking directly to them and asking, hey, what do you want from me? How can we improve it to you, for you, right?
Yep. You are obviously here for a reason. How about you tell me that reason? And if you then tell me that I didn't succeed, then tell me how I can help you succeed in solving what you came here to do. And the questions are not difficult. The answers and the implementation to solve it might be a bit more complicated. The questions are easy though, and they are gold.
Whew. Well, this has been just so much good information, for real. Again, thank you so much for the time.
Time well spent. And we are right on time. Of course, I am in the meeting scheduling business, so I have something coming up at 11:45 on my end, EST. So that's in 7 minutes. So I can just go to the loo, get a Diet Coke, and prep for that meeting.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. And well, let us know. Where else can we find you? How can we learn more about your tools and of your journey, of course?
Two places. obviously, anybody listening or reading about this, if they want to fool around with AI and kind of see where we're at in the year 2020, go sign up at x.ai. That's a free edition forever, as you just heard. And if you like it or don't like it, you know, go check me out. I'm everywhere on the internet under Dennis Mortensen, Twitter, LinkedIn, and what have you. And I would love to hear. And I try to be super responsive. I'm an inbox zero kind of guy.
Awesome. There you got it. Thank you so much.
Cheers. Bye. Perfect.
Hey, welcome to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for being here and to share your time with us. I really, really appreciate it. And if you want to know more about Elegant Mailkit, what we do, or you just want to read more experiments or interviews, you can go to elegantmailkit.com or just find us in all social media as Elegant Mailkit. Until next time, peace.